What's going on, guys, and welcome back to the very last episode of the Let's Just Talk podcast. I'm your host, Adam Martin, and we have brought back my number one favourite fan. No, you're my favourite person, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, right. I probably should be your number one favourite fan as well.
You don't really like my content, though, so let's be honest.
It's not that I don't like it, I just don't listen to
it. You don't listen to any of it.
Not all of it.
But it is the very last podcast, and guys, I'll just first say 244 episodes, one every single week on a Monday, has been released for nearly 5 years. This is the very last one. Now, I know I have already sent out an email saying that maybe it's not, and there was reasons. If you had read that email, you would have known how I changed my mind on being definite that this was the very last and maybe it's not anymore. But I can definitely say that if I do bring the podcast back, it'll be a very different podcast. I have actually thought of an idea that we do a podcast that's called My Wife and the FIFO Life. I reckon that would be a cool podcast, and we record one every fortnight when you come back because it came as an idea because every Monday night you and I have a debrief that makes us stay up far too late. You're normally exhausted from a week of being on site. Mm-hmm. I then normally get exhausted the next day because I stay up far too late and need to get up at 3:30 a.m. So then Tuesday, we're both zombies because we stayed up too late. You're already exhausted and then I get exhausted. But we always have, I think, really cool chats. And I really look forward to that chat for two reasons. One, because I love catching up with you and I think we've always had great communication and we talk about the future. We talk about what's going on in the past week and how work has been and all those kind of things. But for two, I've had to speak to two cyclonic, crazy little girls for a week and it's just nice to have a normal conversation with an adult for a time being. So, yes, I look forward to those Mondays and maybe to stop us talking late into the evening on a Monday, we book in a Tuesday fortnight podcast studio and you and I have that debrief on a podcast studio.
I just don't think you'd stop yourself on a Monday night. You're always so keen. You're like, so now that the girls are in bed, blah, 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 blah.
So, yeah, again, maybe it's not. And again, we'll probably talk a bit about this today anyway, but I'm obviously taking a bit of a direction change in career and life, and I've gone down the mortgage broking route and gone into the financial banking sector and whatnot. Maybe I do a podcast with one of my best mates, which we have talked about as well, and Matt, who has been on this podcast a couple of times, we have always talked about maybe doing more on that as well, and maybe I talk finances and how that kind of stuff. I don't know, but I can't see myself coming back to this kind of format, not this format, but the format that's been going on for 244 episodes before it, mm-hmm. for a number of reasons. I can't turn away from the fact that the health industry has provided this life for me, and anyone who has ever consumed content, bought a product from me, has worked with me on an online program, a face-to-face, in my clinic, like this industry has brought me a lot, and I'm not just throwing it aside. I am still working within it. But I'm just a bit tired of it. I need a new challenge. And we were speaking about this the other day that I've had a couple of years off now to just kind of sit back, relax, enjoy, and kind of cement ourselves in the Western Australia life. And we're pretty certain we're going to be here for a long stint now, considering we have just put ourselves in eyeball watering type debt with this new house, which again, I'm sure we'll talk about a bit today as well. But it's time for me to kind of step up again and be a bit more part of this family and contribute to this family. I know you're already giving me weird looks and other people will, but, and I'm sure many, is it called a home carer, home taker? What's the kind of, in quote, job role for people, like parents who stay at home? There is a title, a
housekeeper? Homemaker?
Homemaker, that's the one I was, yeah. I've been a homemaker for a couple of years and I know this is a controversial thing to say. I've said it before and I'm happy to say it again, but it is one, the easiest job in the world, and for two, the most fun job in the world. And so, and I say that coming from a place from where I have the ability, or we have the ability, to have kids taken care of at daycare. if you are a full-time parent where the kids are at home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they don't have, you don't have the ability because you can't afford it or there's not one close to you and you can't take kids to daycare, they're not at school yet, that is an entirely different story. I could not imagine having to take care of our girls all day, every day, 7 days a week. Couldn't do it. That would be an entirely different story. But when you are a parent who gets to drop your kids off between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and then 4:30 p.m., and you have 8 hours in the middle of the day for yourself, you cannot complain to me that that is a tough situation.
I don't think that there's many people that have that.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I think it's, as I said, from two places. One, it's pretty easy going because, as I said, it's chaotic in the morning, chaotic at night, but then you get to downtime throughout the week. But then for two, the time that you do have to have that chaos, it's with the kids. And I mean, I love my kids, and maybe I'm, again, biased because some people don't like their kids. I don't know, but I love those two maniacs. But they're the best maniacs in the world. And if Amelia and Anna, you're listening to this in 15 years' time or something, I really love you two. Like, they're just the best fun, and I just laugh endlessly with them, and I get so much joy out of watching them grow up each and every day far too fast. Like, Amelia is becoming a little woman right before my eyes, mostly because I'm watching her starting to detest me more. And I say that from a place where she's becoming a teenager that is moody, hormonal, emotional, and all those kinds of things, and doesn't want me around her as much as she did even a year ago. Not because she doesn't love me. And see, I know.
I often wonder if that's genuine or if she does that because she's seen it in TV shows that kids do that. Because I don't know. She's so reflective of what she sees around her and mimics that, and you know, she's always wanted to be accepted and part of the group, and but also very individualistic, and sort of she has her own style about her as well. But yeah, I do wonder what the impact all of the copious TV shows that she watches has on her, because yeah, she watches a lot of things about like teen dramas and boys and girls hooking up, whereas she's nowhere near interested in any of that.
Already told us who she's going to marry.
I mean, yes, but I don't think she has a very concrete idea of marriage yet. Yeah.
But I know. But I mean, I still get it from Anna, though. Like, Anna is just a little koala bear that wants to just hug onto you and never let you go. And as selfish as I am, I lap up that attention and that, oh my God, you still want me kind of thing. And I feel just a little bit more disconnected from my eldest, just that as each day goes by. And, you know, I mean, I know she loves me. She knows I love her, but it's just, I feel that divide starting to happen as she gets a bit older. And I don't know.
It's always been her personality type, though. Like, Anna's always been a very cuddly, personable individual, and she thrives off being around other people, whereas Amelia, more, I don't know, she just,
she's very good on her own.
She is, yeah, and she doesn't need people around her to feel herself.
Yeah, but then
she also does thrive off making other people happy, which I always get worried about.
But I think that I'm going to blame myself for that, because I'm someone who thrives off others telling me I'm doing well. And so when I get that from my daughter, I probably give her an overreaction of like, she praised me. Oh, Amelia, yes, yeah, you know, kind of thing. And so she probably is being reinforced by that. And I then get reinforced on the opposite, in that if she's not giving me anything, I'm like, oh, no one loves me kind of thing. And then I'm like, what's going on? And if she gives me something, anything kind of thing, I latch on to that kind of thing. So, yeah, we're polar opposites in that
regard. I find it, especially, when you have babies, my natural tendency was to over emote everything in terms of, oh, look at this, and oh, you did this, and so from my mothering perspective, it was always like nurture and encourage and wow, and all this sort of, there was a lot of over enthusiasm in terms of what I might naturally just be like, oh, you drew a scribble, well done, kind of thing. So, but with Amelia, it's always hard to, I find it hard to like back that off now. Like, she's getting older, but I still, I've tried to over emote less, but she still over emotes a lot. She gets weirdly enthusiastic about a few things, and I'm just like, oh, great, hun. but yeah, I think she's very passionate about a few specific topics, and I think that's great. Mm.
Yeah. And violently disinterested in everything else, like, apart from that. But yeah, again, that's their own individual kind of personalities, and that's why we love them and whatnot. So yeah, I just to put an end point to it all in regards to, this is why this is kind of ending this mm-hmm. podcast, in that the fit, I've got things happening with my new direction. Again, we'll talk about that in a second and get Amy's input on what she thinks of it all and how her life and work is going. But also, like, I'm really kind of, because we do now spend, and Anna going to kindy next year, she's going to be spending even less time at home again because she's then going to go into school as well. And, you know, these are probably the last year or two that we'll probably get substantial time with the kids. Mm. And so I want to kind of make the most of that as I possibly can and lap up every minute of it. And being part of the social media scene as much as I have for the past 7 years, where that very first day when we landed in France, I like started basically talking to my phone. Mm. And I haven't stopped since, kind of thing. It's just, you know, and it's been a hard decision because I hate displeasing people, and I've received so many lovely messages of, please don't go. Like, I look forward to your posts and seeing the girls and seeing what you're doing and just the little snippets of things that I talk about or say or videos that I do really do help people. And I hate that I'm not going to be providing that help to people in the sense that I have been of late. I will just say, this is not a shameless plug, well, maybe it is, for my daily email. I still put out a daily email and have been doing that for 5-6 years, kind of thing. That's one thing that I actually really do still get a lot of joy out of, because it's almost like my own journal, in that sometimes it is a piece of health talk and I'm like, hey, I found some cool information, I'll share it with you, kind of thing. And then other times it's just me sharing a random thought and concept or idea that I think I've got a good analogy that can translate into helping improve or balance out someone's life. And so I put that down on paper, and then sometimes it's something about the girls or whatnot. So I do love that. So if you do want to get onto my email list, you can continue to do that. But yeah, so it's bittersweet. It's I'm excited about what's to come and what the horizon has and what that all involves. And I'm now into module 4 of my my new diploma in, what's it called? I think diploma in finance and mortgage broker management. I think it's what it's called. So
fancy.
Very fancy. But have you got any insights or any thoughts of me stepping in? Did you ever see that happening? Like, if I went back 12 months, would you have thought that I'd be starting that pathway, or that this is completely out of the blue for you? And then on top of that, what are your thoughts?
I'm glad you're doing something, because I had gotten a little concerned in terms of, progress moving forward had stagnated, and you spent a lot of time on your website and a lot of money on your website and not really moving anywhere, and yeah, I just didn't see how that investment was possibly going to out, and still I'm very unsure about
it. Oh, it's not. It's $20,000 on a website that I will not see a single return on because it's pretty much in the health space. But that said, I have got some products that are going to go up there. And that's why I said I'm not leaving the health industry completely. It's still part of my life and I think still will be part of my life for many years to come. And that's what I hope to automate a bit more, that will produce a product, or I should say many products, that people can use and have access to that is far less exhaustive of my time and energy, but provides still a really great product for people at a much reduced price as well. Because a lot of my personal products and things that I run are quite expensive because I value my time quite highly and my expertise. And I've had many people, thousands of people over the year pay for that because they also value it. But I also understand there's many, many tenfold thousands of people out there that can't afford my service. And I've always wanted to produce something for them that they can still do, still gain valuable information from and have the results that they're looking for. So that's what that website will become and be a more automated service. So I'll still be updating that, still be doing that on the side, but I'm going to direct most of my energy and my time to this new venture. So that's hopefully what that website will do. Does it? I don't know, but we'll soon see. Hopefully it's 6 weeks away, I would say, that website. But I probably said 6 weeks ago that it's 6 weeks away 14 times so far. So I don't know. It'll get done at some point. And
yeah. So there's that, which is one thing. But yeah, I think my main concern is just making sure you do find something that you enjoy and that you're passionate about. Because yeah, having come from like being forced to change careers because of having children and going into banking, and I was able to find enjoyment for a certain period of time and to try and make the most of the situation and all that kind of thing, but ultimately it wasn't fulfilling me from a work perspective as a person, and that slowly started to rot my soul, so to speak. And I don't want that. I don't want that to happen to you. So, and I guess when we made the move over here, and it was always going to mean huge transitions for you, no matter what we did. I guess I envisaged you trying a whole bunch of different things, and just taking that opportunity to test and see what you did like, and to, you know, run with that. And you have done in terms of podcasting and a few other bits and pieces, but there was nowhere near as much experimentation as I was hoping to see. So there was far more.
And that's a completely fair comment.
Watching YouTube and getting back and going surfing, which I think, you know, probably needed to happen as well. But
it happened for a bit.
That time has passed now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess it comes full circle that we're talking about mortgage broking, as well as we then bought a house that has put us again in eye-watering debt that I didn't think we'd ever have.
I don't think it's eye-watering debt. It's within our means. So it's not like.
Do you want to share the numbers or you don't? Like,
no, I don't want to share
that's
the
fair.
Numbers.
I still believe though. Okay, let's. I'll take it this direction. You and I have always been on a very similar page with regards to we're happy to rent.
Yes.
Had never any issues with renting. We've been lucky to have very good landlords in that they never cause any issue or problems, that if something was broken, we'd say this and it got fixed. And you hear these horror stories where people are living in houses that are falling apart and they're trying to just get something done and the landlord doesn't because they don't want to spend money. And I understand all that, but we've never had a bad experience really from it. We did have that one in Albert Park where we were in for 3 days and got kicked out. But technically that was brought on our own fault because we did lie on an application. But that all aside, we've always had good experiences and we've loved the flexibility. We've loved the fact that we can just drop anything and move and go anywhere we want. And we've always loved that. But I've never also thought about owning a home because I've never needed a home. Whereas when we then had the girls, even early on in that, I didn't even think about it because I was happy to be renting. But I don't know, I remember a switch going off 6 months before we bought the home And then it just happened to coincide with the fact that I was trying to email our real estate agent to say, can we please sign on for next year? I want to get on top of this because the rental market is absurd and I don't want to lose this rental property. And so it was all of those kind of issues that are now very prevalent everywhere, is everyone's having trouble to find housing, be it renting or owning. And it was the first time that I guess a whole heap of stars and worlds collided that made me think, actually, you know what? I do want the security of a home, because we're in a very different place. Mm. Like the idea of us just dropping everything and going to France again is very minuscule in comparison to where it was before we had kids, where we had that idea kind of come about. And so I remember when we then started kind of loosely looking, it was more so me because you were on site kind of thing. And then I messaged you and said, uh-oh,
I want to buy a house that you haven't seen.
I found the forever home kind of thing. And, you know, for us, again, we're very similar on what that kind of idea was. And we've always loved the Victorian kind of period home, 1920s kind of thing. And then modernising it to within an inch of its life and renovating the Victorian part of it kind of thing, having a very modern extension or whatever, and having the period part of it kept really nicely but, you know, tastefully kind of renovated and whatnot. And I can remember walking into our new home and going, oh, shit, this is the one. You know, we need this, you know, kind of thing. And then doing everything that you're told not to do when you get a house. Like, don't get emotional about it because it might not be feasible. And then when they came back and said no, no, no to every offer that we put in, and then finally we got an offer that they said, this is what will make it happen. And I remember saying, no, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
And you were the one, actually, the one that turned around and gone, oh, let's just do it. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think because we hadn't seen, you know, this, it ticked all of our boxes. We had an emotional connection with it. And that, and I guess it has a lot of unique features to it as well that would have been expensive to have installed ourselves, and especially with today's labour market with trying to get tradies and builders and stuff, just would have been really challenging to do ourselves. So here we had this property where it was all there, it was laid out in front of us. All we had to do was buy it. And yes, it was more than we'd hoped for, but I think in the grand scheme of the life of the loan and of our journey with that property, it will mean peanuts over time.
Hopefully.
hopefully. And if Perth does what it's supposed to do in terms of a burgeoning market.
Everyone move to Perth because it's amazing.
No, actually don't, because don't ruin it. Yeah. But but it is amazing.
But I mean, to that point, is it, I didn't see this as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the investments you and I have made over time, be that into the share market or the property market, we looked at them as a pure transaction. Here's what we're putting in, here's what we hope to get out of it kind of thing. Whereas this was, I don't intend on selling this. So I don't care if the market tanks tomorrow or if it goes up or goes sideways, goes up, down, north. Like, obviously, I'm hoping in 30 years' time when you and I retire and move into some sort of retirement village, which is a horrible thought to even think about now that I'll be 70 in 30 years' time. But that kind of idea, yeah, sure. It'll probably have appreciated in value at some degree kind of thing, but I'm not even thinking about that in any way, because I have no intention to ever sell this property. Like, it is genuinely that one where people say, this is our forever home. Like, I can see the girls growing up in it. I can see them being teenagers and bringing their friends around and having parties in. And, you know, we've got, I know as cheesy as it sounds, we've got lines on the wall now as the girls growing up. You know, they've got their heights and those kind of, like, we can do that and we don't have to worry about anything because it's our little piece of land. And our, and the thing that, you know, again, they say never to do, but I think if it is your forever home, I think you should do. Like, you should be emotional about it. You should be, like, tearing up almost at, like, the sight or the thought of growing old in this and things like that. And
oh, yeah.
Don't then go and spend amplitudes of money over it, yes, But if it does make you tingle a little in your seat, like, oh, I don't know about this, but then all the other emotions are you sitting there going, oh, this is just everything we've ever wanted, then maybe, yeah, stretch yourself, get in there and go and live that dream there.
Yeah, I mean, I, like you, I was happy to rent. I never, I didn't envisage buying a house anytime soon. And I was pretty mortified when Adam first suggested it because, I was just like, why would we do that? That makes no financial sense. we're on a good wicket. We could keep making this work. And yes, there were some worries about our landlord majorly upping the rent, and it was a concern, but we could still afford it easily enough. And it was...
Sorry to interrupt. I now think back to what that rent was in comparison. It was like, do you know how easy it would be still be renting?
Yeah, it would. And we could actually still go on holidays and things like that too. But having walked through the house the first time and seen the tall ceilings and the giant bedrooms and the colour scheme, which it's got, it's just beautiful. And it's even got quirky tiles, which I know Adam doesn't love, but I kind of do. I just love their uniqueness and the audacity of someone having chosen them to go in their bathrooms.
I will say the kitchen tiles I'm fine with now. I don't mind that green backsplash anymore. I still hate the bathroom. I would rip that bathroom to pieces tomorrow if we had $50,000 to renovate a bathroom.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. It's not what I would have chosen for sure, but it works. It works with the rest of the house.
Yeah, sure.
And it's such a small little bathroom too that it'd make it feel bigger if it was perhaps lighter and brighter, which is my natural tendency for bathrooms, but. I don't know. I don't mind. And I think the tile that they chose has a connection back to the period nature of the house as well. Even though it's a modern tile, it looks somewhat Victorian-esque sort of thing.
I don't know how you're grabbing on that. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, whenever I walk down the back of the house and the sun's streaming through the windows and I can feel the sun warming my body, and I take a seat on our epically large couch in our lounge room
theater that we built.
And it's just like, this is the life. Like this is everything we wanted. And yes, we're having to stress a little bit over how to manage our finances, but it's all worth it, and it's worth it in a way that I never realized how much I would value owning my own home. And it's an amazing feeling to have. And I think that emotional connection at times like this is really important, because if you're not emotionally connected to your house and you're going through tough times and interest rates are going up, then, you know, that is like, what is it all for? Whereas we've got very good reasons for what it's all for, and I don't know, it works out.
I was listening to a podcast with Mark Burris the other day. If people know who he is, he's the CEO of, I don't know if he still is, I'm pretty sure he is the owner and CEO of Yellow Brick Road Home Loan. He's very prominent in the financial kind of space, and of course, as I'm moving into mortgage broking, I'm starting to consume more of that kind of content, and it seems to, of course, because all of our phones are listening to us, it seems to pop up into my feed of TikTok and things like that. But he was saying the other day just how he went through a rough patch and had to sell what he thought was his forever home, and how embarrassed he felt, how he had to have that conversation with his wife when he realised we can't do this anymore, and having to tell her, and then they had a couple of kids, and then selling that forever home. And I imagine that conversation with you, if it does get to a point where like, we just can't hang on to, and how devastating that would be. And it just, I say all of that purely just to kind of come back to your point that you're saying, that there is an emotional connection with it. As you said, there is a reason for that stress. It's not just, as you said, oh, this house is just nothing but a stress for me, and I don't even like it. You know, we just did it because we thought we should buy a house kind of thing. as you said, there's a reason, and it's the reason why, metaphorically but also literally, I pulled myself off the couch and thought, I've got to do something kind of thing here, because I can't see myself really driving myself to start a new clinic or really taking off with the health sector again. And so I was like, well, what am I going to do, you know, kind of thing. And just general conversations I've had, and I'm lucky that one of my best mates owns a mortgage broking company, and I reached out to him and said, is it a ludicrous idea for me to go and get a qualification in this, and would there be work with you? And if not, like, where would I go and how? And he goes, I'm sure we could make something work, but even if we can't, I'll make sure I help you out in some way, shape or form. And so I thought, fuck it, why not? Let's give this a go. And I always overstretch myself. Like, if I do go into something, I'm in it. Like, okay, let's go and do this. And I've always done that. And he said, just get the cert form. Nah, I'll get the diploma. Let me, I'll go. And he's like, you only need the certificate for. And I'm like, nah, I'll do the whole thing, you know, kind of thing. So, but, you know, it says it's a 12-month course. So I'm going to try and tick it off in 6 months, and we'll see what 2024 kind of looks like moving forward. And said, it's interesting. I had a chat with Matt yesterday or the day before, and he said, when I was calling you back, because it's been a few weeks since I've spoken to him, he said, I was probably going to get two reactions from you, because he knows I've started the course. He said, you're either going to tell me that I've done a couple of modules and get me the hell out of this. This is, I don't want to have anything to do with this because the content is boring and dry and whatever it was. Or you'll be the other way. It's just like, give me more of this. I want more of this. Yeah, this is great. I can envisage myself helping people and, you know, getting them into products and loans and things to help them live the dreams like we are, or getting into investments or whatever it might be. And he said, so which way have you gone? I said, it's the latter, 100%. Like, just in like the health space, I love helping people achieve their health goals. Now I'd love to help and bring a lot, and I've said this so many times, there's so many crossovers in health generation with wealth generation. You know, you've got to be patient, you've got to be consistent, you've got to start small, build over time, you know, all of those kind of things that I've spoken for years about with regards to health generation. I think people get really confused about the world of money and generating wealth. And real, it's just like generating health, it gets so confusing because there's so many things of people talking out there with the health, when it's really just the basics. Just get rid of all that noise and stick to these basics and you can really live a healthy and balanced life. It's the same with money generation. I see it time and time again with people struggling out there when they don't really need to be struggling, because they're consuming so much garbage information that's just being poured out there by people who are just trying to take your money in the end of the day. And I really get excited about the prospect and the idea that I could potentially change the financial industry a little bit. Like, I'd love to put my little spin on it and, you know, be a more empath. And this is not to say that all people in the finance industry aren't just numbers, money, you know, kind of thing. But it is a lot, you know, and I think I can bring a very empathetic kind of swing on things that will really help people walk them through that process, because getting a loan and going through that, it's a really stressful time for people. But if I can help walk them through that and then reassure them that things will be well and we're going to get you a product that is, you know, suitable for you and is going to make sure that this works out well for you, it's not going to put you in stress over time, and then you can live that dream or build that investment portfolio or whatever it might be. And so I'm super excited about it. And again, just coming full circle to say that Matt said it's going to be one or two of those. Which one was it? And it's definitely, I'm super excited by it. And yes, the compliance stuff and all that stuff's very dry and it's just ugh kind of material, but it's necessary. I understand that, to then get to the juicy stuff where you're learning how to write loans, how you can do things and, you know, articulate, you know, applications to make it suit a client. And so, yeah, I'm super excited by it.
That's good.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm finally passionate about something again. And again, you know, I know I could feel it from you, not that you emphasize those feelings in any way, shape or form, but I could feel it from you just kind of, can you do something? Like, it's like every time I come home, you're always telling me about the latest TV series you watched or, you know, whatever it might be. And I get it. And it's like, I think I've had my time to chill out and relax, and it's now time to find something to drive me, and here we are.
That's it.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
We do have some questions that people, I put out a question, like, I can't even remember the last time I recorded a podcast, because, like, the last stint of podcasts I did, I churned through probably 6 or 7 in about a 2-week period, which has given me a couple of months worth of podcasts to kind of end here where we are now. So I feel a bit weird by it all, by this whole process and actually recording a podcast. But I'm just trying to think when I actually put out this question box. And it's saying mid-July I put this question box out. So we're almost in
September.
Yeah, so about a month ago. So I'll ask them from the Instagram stories first, and then I did an email one as well, and there's a few stories there. So we'll just run on. If there was one bit of your lives you'd like to go back to and start again from, where, when would it be?
Start again from probably France. I'd like to do France again, mainly just because I was spent the first half of that trip just massively stressing about visas and everything. Whereas if we'd just gone and got the long visit visa for Adam and Amelia from the outset, that would have been a lot easier.
I keep asking you, like, does the fact that you were also doing a diploma at that time, does that cause, like, would you do it again and not do that during that time, or you would have still included that there, knowing where we are now, like, that you could come back and you obviously worked in the finance industry for a little while and things like do you still do that, or you don't do that if you went and did France again?
I mean, although I'm not currently using that grad certificate, I am very glad I did it. I've learned a lot about the finance industry because of it. And while I always had an interest in financial matters and how to make the most out of your money and how to grow wealth and all that sort of thing, it was always an interest of mine. And I don't know whether I would have learned as much as I did in such a shorter period of time, in such a useful period of time as well, if I hadn't done that. So as amazing as it would have been to have just had a holiday for those 6 months, I'd just come off a year at home with Amelia, and I was very eager to get my brain working on something again, and it was good for me. It was tedious at times, but especially when I had to find a place to sit an exam frantically.
We were in Bordeaux at
begging,
the time.
Yeah, Bordeaux University to supervise and me sitting an exam. But it all worked out in the end, and I probably didn't do as well in the last few modules because I was really probably a bit more burnt out at that stage and just wanting to come home. And I never like doing studying just to do the minimum, but that's where I was at that stage. And yeah, it would have been nice to do it somehow differently. But yeah, that's all I'd redo again in terms of time is France, and just do it with that little bit less stress and make the most of living in Aix and the opportunities that living in that region generated in terms of the travel in the area. There's so many amazing, beautiful, tiny little villages that would have been great to explore. And we did a bit of that, but not as much as I would have liked. So yeah,
good answer. I would probably say I would have started on the social media journey earlier. I was early to it, but still late to it. That if I had, I can still remember, and I won't give names away of what it was, but I can remember someone that worked with us at my clinic back in Melbourne, had a partner who was very early in social media. And I can remember, like, back in, I'm going to say like 2009, when Instagram was just kind of coming on the scene. I think it was 2009, 2008, somewhere around there. They had like 15,000 followers back in like 2009. And like, for anyone now, because you can see people with millions of followers, like 15,000 followers on Instagram in like the very first year. Like, it was insane. And I remember seeing that and going, what a stupid thing to waste your time on. And she's created an entire life for herself based off that very early adoption, and she's still doing work with that to this day. Not so much, but still doing work with that. I wish I kind of jumped on that a bit earlier and didn't see Instagram and social media as a whole as just a place to post content that my family could see, because that's all I ever thought it was. And that's why I was like, why do you care that you've got 15,000 other people? Like, you're only showing stuff that you want your family. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around what social media was becoming at that time, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So I really do wish I jumped on that and started providing content in a meaningful way, as I think I've done when I did finally jump on board in kind of a 2015. When did we go to France? 16?
17.
17. So 2016, when I started writing the book, and that's kind of where I really kind of took off. So I wish I was probably 5 years earlier to that. And that's where I'd probably go back to start again, because I think things would be very different now if I had. Mm.
But then you'd be a slave to social media.
Yes, but I don't know. I feel like I missed a bit of an opportunity there, because, again, I'm moving into a space where I really want to produce a product that people can have on scale that I think is going to be really beneficial to them. And I hope that the few thousand people that do listen to, which I'm always still baffled by and humbled by, that there are many of you listening to this podcast and those who kind of consume my content on emails and things like that. Like, there's still thousands of people. Like, I hope that you do find that content and that it's of value to you if it's a product that you want. But I really wish I could have had a bigger impact, not for a money perspective. Like, it doesn't come from a business perspective whatsoever. I've just always wanted to help more people, and I've always understood that my services one-to-one are out of the reach for most people. You know, I can think of all the clients I had in my years. It's a very affluent area. It was a very, you know, I did really well because I had incredible clients that valued that, but also had the means to understand that value as well. So I really hoped that I could do more of an impact for a greater part of the population. I feel I've missed that because I didn't jump on that earlier. So that's where I'd probably go back.
I mean, it's never too late.
No, that's the problem, though. I've come to a point where I don't want to do that anymore, though. Mm. Well, like, kind of go back into the social, like, I'd have to go back into that full content generation, and I'm just, I'm tired. And again, it might be that in 12 months' time I do. I'm like, oh, I miss it. I want to go back to it. Maybe. But at the moment, like, I just don't want anything to do with social media anymore. I don't find it enjoyable to watch. From an Instagram and Facebook and all those kind of, I just don't find that content. I'm still, and you will know this, I am 100% obsessed with TikTok. Like, I love mm-hmm. that short form content and what people are doing. It's a creativity I haven't seen, and I don't have that kind of creativity. So I don't think I can do well in the TikTok space. I'm very literal with how I kind of provide content. Whereas people on TikTok, the creativity I see, I just find so much joy watching people provide that creativity and seeing their brain sticking and how they kind of come up with that. I love it. But for me, it's just not for me anymore. So,
yeah, I see TikTok as a time vacuum.
Oh, it's so easy to disappear into. Yeah.
Yeah, it's far too risky for me.
Number two, are you loving living in Perth?
Yes.
Yes.
Everything about it.
And
yes.
And this is, it probably is a bit of a sales pitch, but I am, one, baffled by the fact that it's not busier than it is. I know the isolation of it is, I think it's the most isolated major city in the world, but planes, it's pretty easy access once you, I know it's a few hours flying even in Australia, but I just don't understand when you have world-class beaches, and Sydney people, you can get angry at me all you like, but our beaches here, shit over Sydney beaches. Like, don't even compare. They're so much better. And if a Victorian's going to sit there and say anything about beaches, you can go back to your home. And Queensland, they've got some beautiful beaches and rainforests and things like that. I'll absolutely give that to them. But picturesque-wise, you've then got the hills, you've then got changing scenery everywhere,
the river,
Like all within 20 minutes of each other. Mm. Like you can go to the beach within 20 minutes, you can go to the hills in 20 minutes, you can go to the river within 20 minutes. Like it's all
for us. That's where we live.
But even if you're living on the outskirts of Perth now, where it is starting to expand out into, it's a 40-minute drive to come into the city, and then you're only 20 minutes to the beach, 20 minutes to the hill. Like, so to come to that very central location. And so, I don't know, it's just, it baffles me on that front. But I think that secret is going to get out at some point.
Mm.
And I think COVID was part of that, in that a lot of Easterners who were FIFOing in and out of WA to come to work here had to come over here because obviously all the borders all shut. And then they've kind of, I never anticipated living here. And we've got family here, and we were always joking about them. So like, those weirdos over in WA, like, you know, they're in their little country town kind of thing. It's not like that anymore. You know, it's come so leaps and bounds even in the last decade. And who knows what it'll look like in another decade. The thing that baffles me, I'll bring this up. You and I say it all the time. We're 5 minutes from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5 minutes. No more than 10 minutes, even with traffic. No more than 10-minute drive from the city. And where we are, there are still vacant blocks of land that people are building new homes on.
Mm.
Now, if you go to Sydney and you're in Darlinghurst and in kind of around the kind of city of Sydney, and then you go to Melbourne and you're in Toorak or Port Melbourne, Albert Park, you know, those kind of, again, inner city kind of parts, there's no blocks of land. Like, there are housing that developers will buy and then bulldoze to put up something, but there's no vacant blocks of land that there's still nothing being built on it kind of thing. And so it baffles us every time. And so, I'm loving Perth, and I'm loving everything that it provides for us and for our family. And just, even though our house is an eye-watering type thought for us, this property in this location in an eastern state of Sydney and Melbourne, it is $5-6 million all day, at least.
I'd go 3 to 4, but anyway.
But in any case, it is magnitudes more,
yes,
however you kind of want to look at it. And you get massive blocks of land over here. You get so much more for your money with regards to living.
Mm.
And then you get all of the perks of, as I said, a beautiful river space in South Perth, a city that is growing. Like, it, you look at it in comparison to a Melbourne city, and it's like there's four skyscrapers in Perth's city kind of thing, and they're all mining companies. But you then go to Melbourne, and like the city is growing so big kind of thing. But I don't know. Yeah, I love it. And I don't know if I'm going to see myself living here forever, though. I will say that. I still think, whether it's in 20, 30 years' time or not, we'll end back up in Melbourne.
I have no reason to go back to Melbourne.
I have no reason, but I still think I'll end up there.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like this kindred spirit with Melbourne. I don't know. It's this weird thought that I think it is my original home kind of thing. But once my parents pass away and whatnot, like, I have no reason to be there kind of thing. And, you know, I hope my parents are around for a very long time, but like, they're getting on and they're not going to be around forever kind of thing. And, you know, I've said to my sister time and time again, she should come over here. I think she'd love it over here, whether she does or not. Yeah. Whether once mum and dad do pass, maybe then she hasn't got a whole lot holding her there. Maybe she does, maybe she does. I don't know. But yeah, we're loving it, to answer that question.
Yeah. I think it's hard when you've got well-developed communities and networks, and the, you know, a career path set out in front of you that's available, and a lot of people in Melbourne do have that. Whereas for me especially, the work was over here, and we wouldn't have come over here if that hadn't been the case.
Never. No.
So, and I think people from the eastern states probably might have some concerns about, you know, it is a smaller city. Are the opportunities smaller because of that? Mm. Whereas the growth and the growth potential, I think, is huge over here. And the lifestyle that you get is, because it's just a a city in an environment and in a climate that actively encourages and participates you to be outside.
The weather is second to none.
You don't get that in Melbourne. You do in Sydney and Brisbane to a large extent. But Brisbane doesn't have the beaches and Sydney is just overcrowded and expensive. And I've never liked the city in Sydney. It's made of sandstone and it looks dirty. So to just really polarize lots of people.
And everyone from Sydney just disconnected from the podcast.
But that's why Melbourne is better. Basalt doesn't show the dirt up. Anyway.
There's a typical geologist talking.
That's it. And Perth will continue to grow. And I think its remoteness is part of what makes it awesome as well, because Perth people wouldn't want Perth to grow too big and too populous, because then it would kind of ruin its specialness as well. So at the moment, I was born in Perth, but I'd never envisaged living here. And for me, what really let Perth down 10 to 15 years ago was the hospitality sector, in terms of cafes and restaurants. All that cafe culture was nowhere near as developed as the eastern states. And whilst there's still obviously far more in terms of the numbers of cafes and stuff over in the eastern states, the quality and the vibe, I guess, you get from the hospitality sector in Perth now is equal to that of Melbourne and Sydney. So coming in leaps and bounds.
I've only booked this room for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep going until the door opens up and we're told we've got to leave. So just letting you know that this podcast could finish very abruptly. If you're still with us, I appreciate it. But just letting you know that we've still got quite a few questions left. And
My husband really does like to talk.
Yes.
A lot.
My apologies. Yeah. But if you're still listening to my podcast to this day, you know that I waffle on. And so you enjoy that. So that's why you're here. So let's move it on. So do you and Amy get over disagreements quickly?
Depends how quickly we talk about them. Because I'm going to throw you under the bus. Adam likes to stew from time to time, whereas I like to deal with things immediately.
But we've always said we will never go to bed angry. So I might stew over it because we have an argument in the morning and I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you get away from me for the day.
Mm.
And you're sitting there, like, I can feel you going, we need to talk about this, like, you know, kind of thing.
Mm.
But we'll never go to bed with that still lingering.
You can't say never because you have. I remember going to bed one time and I was like, he's not talking about this. And this is nighttime and we're going to sleep and he's going to let me go to sleep with this still unresolved. I hate him.
Okay,
and then
can I
the
say
next morning, because of it, I was fuming at you and you were kind of like over it by then, but I was like, nope. So yeah, but yeah, most of the time. But we don't really have many blowouts anyway.
And I would say, and this is not a marriage counselling type advice thing, take it as you will, but I would say the vast majority of people that argue are those who don't communicate with each other.
Mm.
And you and I have a very open communication channel. Sometimes you would say probably too much so, because I do just waffle on and talk about and Jesus. but we always do make sure we communicate. And so I don't know, because we become so good at communicating with each other that I can tell if you're annoyed at me because I've done something or haven't done something or whatnot. And you can probably vice versa kind of feel or tell that something's not quite right and something is annoying me or whatever it might be.
Mm.
And so we just ask the question, like, what's going on? You've snapped at me twice today. That's clearly something like, what's going on? And then, you know, I feel safe enough that we can start talking about it, that it's not just going to be torn down and ripped apart, that you'll accept it, you'll hear it, and then obviously give your side of it. So I think if you're having trouble in your marriage – here I am talking my high horse. But if you're having trouble, I just think you need to communicate more. Mm. I genuinely believe that's the key to a longer lasting. That might mean that you do talk about this isn't working for us anymore and we need to end that. I'm not saying it's going to save relationships or whatnot, but it will certainly make the time that you spend in that a more enjoyable time.
Yeah.
And
I think as well, because we have both of us ripped each other's hearts out in the past, we've had those moments where we have been incredibly vulnerable in front of each other. And so I don't really fear that anymore. It's just like, well, if we need to strip everything down, then let's just do it, because then it's easier to build back up from that point, sort of thing. Like, it doesn't really feel like there's anything you could say that would change the way I feel about you in terms of, like, the love I feel for you, to get all mushy. But, so it's just like, we'll just have it out and let's get all the feelings and emotions out on the table, because half the problem is festering, I think.
Fair enough. Mm. Next one. Highlights of the last 5 years. Now, we could probably have 200 of them. I'm just going to say your number one highlight over the last 5 years, or else we'll be here forever.
Oh, gosh. I mean, 5 years. I mean, that's got to be probably Anna's birth. She's 3.
Get rid of the kids. Like, I mean, that's a given. Of course, the birth of a child is like a highlight kind of thing. But like, yes, but name something other than the kids. Whether it's something about you or what it, like, make it more selfish.
I don't know. I'd need some time to think about that one. I did really like all of our family walks during COVID in Melbourne. That was a huge silver lining for me. We got out far more in Melbourne winter than we have ever done before. And I think, spending that time outside in nature, near the beach, in all the beautiful tree-lined streets of Albert Park, that was a huge highlight. And the amount, I suppose, the family came together during that time as well was a big plus for me. It ended up getting too much to the point where I needed to run away and fly over to a mine site in Perth. that's definitely a highlight from the last 5 years. And probably our trips down to Busselton as well. Always good. Yeah. And like hikes still at Les Murdy. I think I just like being in nature with the kids. And whenever I see them playing in creeks and things like that, just being like Aussie kids doing typical things like that. Well, things that I feel like kids should be doing, like not being in front of a TV. That always is a highlight for me. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to probably come very similar in that while I highly, and I don't know if people are still talking about COVID or not these days, I have no idea, but while I highly disagree with so much of what happened, and I really hope we learnt lessons from that, so should something pop up again in the future, we don't have those kind of things happen again. But for all of its failings that was, absolutely the fact that it brought us together as a family, not that I think we weren't, but like we got to spend that time, and as you said, during a winter of Melbourne where you basically just turn the heater on and you stay inside, you don't go outside, you might run to the car, turn that heater on, then get inside to the gym and then have your jet and then that kind of thing. The fact that, you know, we were allotted 1 hour outside every day, you know, we really utilised that time to rug up, get your coats on, we'll take an umbrella if we have to, but, you know, we can't be inside for 24 hours, you know, let's get out, let's go for that walk. And as detrimental as all of that whole scene was, if not for that, we wouldn't be here.
Mm.
You'd probably still be having your soul sucked out of you from the finance industry, and God knows where you'd be with that and how you'd be feeling about it all. We wouldn't be over west. We wouldn't be here doing these. We wouldn't be having this podcast chat right now. And so for as much as I hated all of that, it has produced this life that we now have. And I'm very grateful for that. And that's definitely a highlight. Will you still have time for your friends, followers, and clients with your new direction? Well, I guess I kind of alluded to that, in that followers with regards to social media, I've been pretty open with the fact that I'm not coming back to that in any shape or form for an indefinite period of time. I don't know, at least in the sense of how I have been over the last 6 or 7 years kind of thing. So no, with regards to that. But with regards to my clients, I still see clients face to face. I still run online programs. So yes, I'm still going to be running those and doing those moving forward. Much less, but I will be doing those. And my hope is that with this new direction, that I have a bit more disposable income with it as well, that we can get over East, if not we, I can get over East and see my two best mates that are my world. And, you know, I've shared with, again, many times on this, that Matt and Glenn mean the absolute world to me. And any time with those two is a treasured moment of mine. And, you know, I do really, I'm not going to say need that, but I do crave that with those two. And that's not to say I haven't made some good friendships and that over here. And I think they'll continue to develop, and I've enjoyed those. But there's something that's quite deep with those two, and I really do enjoy that. And I hope I can do more of that and then guilt them into coming over here, because, like, I've done 3 trips in the last year. You two should come over here, that kind of thing. So
we are the ones that did move away, though.
We did, and that's why I'm happy to do more of that traveling. And I'm not super guilty on them, but I will if I do 3 of them. I'm like, maybe you should come over here, kind of thing. So, but yeah, so I hope to be able to spend more time with them because of more disposable income, which we don't currently have. And you kind of said we don't travel anymore, but I did let you know of a little.
We're going to Singapore, and I'm so excited.
Kid free, mind you. So yes. It was a secret. I'm not going to hamper on this too long, because we do have to get moved. But I did keep a secret from Amy, and I'd organised with her parents to fly over here, take care of the girls for a week, and then I had booked some flights and swiddled away some things to make it all happen without Amy knowing. But I've been her passport is running out, and I'd been pestering her. You really should probably get that. And the looks were kind of like, why? We're not traveling anywhere. And I, but maybe if we do, kind of thing. And Amy's far too cluey to not hinker onto that. And she finally kind of like, why? Tell me why I need my passport. And so she now knows of my secret. But yeah, that's for your birthday and our 10-year wedding anniversary next year. It's kind of all encompassing one, that we'll have 6 days of child-free time.
Best present ever.
In Singapore. So that should be nice. So yes. Are you going to be a mortgage broker and a real estate agent? I'm excited for this space too. Now, I know this person, he's actually gone into this space as well himself. He's from New Zealand. If I've got that wrong, I really apologize. I'm pretty sure he's from New Zealand. And so when I posted that I was doing this, he was super excited, reached out and said, hey, dude, so am I. This is great. Yeah. How are you enjoying it, kind of thing? So that's where this question comes from. I've actually always wanted to become a real estate agent. I think that's where my love for property kind of originally came from. And the original idea was with Matt. We said this years ago, even before he started his broking firm, was I'd be the agent, he would be the broker, and we'd start a company together, because he'd have clients that were looking for a loan, I'd have clients that were buying a home. It would be a perfect synergy to have one kind of firm doing it all. But real estate agents will probably agree with me when I say this, that it is horrible for your family life, because you're always having open houses at the end of the night when people obviously are leaving work. You have to have open houses all weekend, and it's just too time consuming on a family life. And I'm at a stage in my life where I'm unwilling to give up time with my family. Like, I don't have to. If I got forced to, of course I would, if it meant that we had to keep our house over a room, that's the kind of sacrifice. But I don't have to, and so I will keep doing what I can to spend time with those girls and my wife, and not give up on that until the very last kind of sacrifice that I have to make. And so that's why I've kind of grown into the idea of mortgage broking, because then it can still get me into that industry in some way, shape or form. So to answer your question, no, I'm not going to become a real estate agent, but I think it's a fun space that, for those, if you're young, don't have a family, and you're you love money, you love property, and you love the sale and that kind of idea. I think it's a phenomenal industry for people to be in, but just not at 40 years of age when I got a family.
Maybe when the girls are grown up.
Maybe. And I've got a couple of other email questions. Let's see what they are. I'm trying to read where the question is because there's a big email where the actual question is. Words and love the questions. I now see you listening.
Love the prep. It's great.
Yeah, everyone knows I don't prep for the podcast.
Well,
if you can kind of think of something to say, Amy.
Talk about geology and rocks and enthrall everyone with with that. No, not really. But yeah, hopefully Adam will come to it really soon. Because
Here we go. Got him. Okay, podcast questions. If you could change one major thing you have done since moving to Perth, what would it be? I'm going to have to be a bit more rapid fire because we are going to get kicked out of this soon. So
I'm hungry too. possibly just stay in our old rental.
Yeah, it's
if I've never seen this house.
It's an interesting, it's exactly where my head went to as well. I would never have bought this home, but I do want to buy this home because we saw it. So, yeah, I'd love to still be just having what that rent would have been. Still just carefree and stress-free and not having to worry about getting Anna into a different school now as well. So that's all a bit of a kerfuffle that Anna is now no longer in the catchment. So we're having to take her to a different school. Hopefully we can get in there the year after where Amelia goes. But at the moment, we're going to be going to two different schools just because there's not enough room for Anna at that. We're not in the catchment for it. So that's a real pain in the ass. But it is what it is. You can't do anything. So, yes, that's what shame. If Amy quit mining, would you stay in Perth, being selfish and not taking the girls' feelings into consideration?
I mean, I wouldn't quit mining.
Let's just say it all fell in a heap and mining's no longer an option, though.
That is such an impossible question to answer because I wouldn't know what else I would do. And so it would depend on what else I would do. And based around that, I would look for employment, well, the city at which would give that the best chance of success.
Good answer. FIFO in general, the downsides for relationships and how it affects you both mentally.
Downsides is that, you know, one parent is a single parent for half of the year, which is a huge toll to put on that parent.
One I'm very happy to do because the girls are obsessed with Amy, and the fact that I get their sole attention for half of the year, I will take every single day. So.
And they definitely love you more for it now.
I think so.
For being around and for being their constant one and only parent. So that is a downside. And I guess another downside that I notice is that I don't always know when the bins are supposed to be out, and I don't always know which day is like library day for the kids at school. I probably could if I actually got my act together and paid a bit more attention, but it's just one of those things that I know Adam's got covered, so I just don't know it. But for me, there are so many more upsides. I get to fulfill my dreams from a working perspective. I get free and independent time away, so I can focus on my health as well. I do a lot of a lot more workouts that I do at work than I do at home, and then it gives me the space and time and energy to be able to come back and give my all to my family. I can attend assemblies and carnivals, and if they happen to be, I attend far more of those than I would if I had a 9-to-5 job and would have to take time off specifically to attend those things. So I think there's a lot of pros.
I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but I think another issue that so many marriages and relationships have is the guilt that either person of that relationship feels when they want to do something for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're always there and you're in a marriage, it's a partnership and you're 50-50 because you're living in that household, not as a FIFO type family, in that if I was to say 3 days a week, say to you, Ames, I'm going to go surfing again this morning, there would be that kind of resentment. Ugh, I got to get the kids ready again. There'd be that kind of, and I'm sure that happens all the time. Whereas we have that separation in that you have your alone time, I have my alone time. But when we come back together, we then make sure we have that time together. But on that alone time, I don't ever feel like, I feel like I've got endless brownie points kind of saved up. That if I say, hey, Ames, I'm going there, you're more often than not, if it's been a really particularly good swell week kind of thing, and it's the third time that, where they're like, you're going again? Like, but I don't ever get a sense, it's a bit of a sarcastic again, not a, oh God, you're not really helping out here kind of thing. But if that was happening every week and we're always home and only one, there's that resentment kind of that you're seeming to do more on your own. Mm. Where's my alone kind of time? And I see and hear of, because clients always tell me their troubles, like I'm forever a psychologist and have been for 15 years with my clients. They're the complaints I always heard from other families. It's like, oh, my husband, he's such an asshole. He does. It's like, people need alone time. I don't think people should be penalized or guiltized for wanting that alone time. But we get that because it's forced on us by the FIFO type thing. And I think that's a positive thing because we do get to enjoy that alone time.
Yeah. And I think probably it's something that we potentially do better than other FIFO families, because I am a woman doing FIFO as opposed to a man doing FIFO. Potentially, this is just speculation, but men doing FIFO may not be as considerate, and I know a lot of them are very considerate, but may not, you know, they may have that attitude that this is what I've always done, this is the way it's meant to be. When I come home, this is my break time, I can do whatever I want, and don't have that level of consideration for their partner and finding ways to meet their needs as well. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Next question. My question is, what will you be doing with your fitness career? I think I've highlighted that mostly. Yep, perfect. Another one here. Firstly, I'm sorry to hear. Oh, God, I should have prepared it again. The question with the podcast. Similar situation where we also have two girls. However, they're 11 and 7. How do you and Amy find the balance and patience to juggle everything? Hubby and I work full time. Girls are involved with sporting, dancing activities and so forth. I do have some medical issues as of late, which are related to an injury she's carrying, but struggle to get day by day sometimes. And I'm also trying to cut out some of the outside stress. So I guess the question is,
I'm really sorry to hear you're struggling that much. That does sound really, really challenging. One of the things that we've done is we do not have outside activities at the moment. So the weekends are entirely our own.
To spend with the girls.
And you know, if we just feel like chilling out, well, we just chill out. You know, I think there's a lot of pressure put on parents these days to be filling our children's lives every second of their waking moments with activities and opportunities. And whereas it's also important to give everybody, not just the kids, but the parents too, like, that space and opportunity to have downtime to, you know, it's important for kids to be bored occasionally too. That's when they develop. Think of new games, get creative, cooperate with each other. My only advice would probably be just to try and, you know, do you really need those activities? Are your kids really, really into them, or are they doing it because you've asked them to?
That's exactly where my head went when kind of I originally read this question, but obviously rereading it now, it kind of brought back the memory of what I originally thought I'd answer with, and you kind of articulated it really well, is that I always wonder how often kids are playing a sport based on the fact that parents said, you should play basketball, you should play that. And I'm even wrestling that with that now, as opposed to the child organically coming to you and saying, hey, I've seen my friend playing this, or I've seen this sport being played, or whatever it might be. I'd like to try basketball, ballet, dance, whatever it might be kind of thing. And I think more often than not, it comes from a sense of, you know, you, as you said, you want lots for your kids and you want them to enjoy things, you want them experience things and whatnot. And sometimes it's, I'm not saying this is the case for this person here, but sometimes it's like a failed sporting career in the parents' life, that they were a basketball player but didn't quite achieve what they wanted, but they're going to hopefully achieve that through their kids. And you see that all the time happening as well. And so, yeah, I guess similarly my advice would be is that kind of ask the child if they're doing dancing, sport, basketball, and they've got, you know, seven different things on that means that you're doing something every night where they're taking the training and then you've got sport on the weekend. And ask them, like, do you still enjoy all of these things? Would you like to do less? And that child might come back, oh, God, Mum, I hate dancing. I'm so tired of it, whatever it might be. Yeah. And great, get rid of it. And then you can have that night back and that weekend back and be able to just be a bit more relaxed about it and then not stress you out because you're stressed about wanting to fill that time for your kids.
Yeah, and I think especially as a mum, it can be very easy to just give yourself over entirely to your family. So another potential idea would be to block out some time for yourself that is non-negotiable every week. And, you know, maybe it's a Friday afternoon after work, you know, negotiate with your husband, whatever time works for you both. But to just have that time, just like, you know, instead of coming home straight away after, you know, it doesn't have to be Friday, it could be any night of the week on a Tuesday, you could either take that time and go have dinner with your girlfriends, or take that time and go do an exercise class, or just walk around the streets, or sit on your iPad and watch TV, whatever you would like to do during that time. Just having time that you know each week is yours, and you can, it's something to look forward to, it's something you can rely on. I think having that time is really important. So,
and I will just add to that, in I've given that advice many times to clients who I've, you know, had very similar kind of feelings that I'm feeling just overwhelmed, over, you know, overstressed in it. Make sure if you are going to set that time aside that you do not have any capability for the people in your family to contact you. So don't take, I mean, if you're going to take your phone because you're going to be listening to a podcast on a walk or something like that, turn
flight mode on
or whatever it is, so that, because inevitably, and I see it happen all the time, and we feel guilty because we didn't pick up that phone call and, you know, you weren't there, and that there's nothing on this planet 99% of the time that a problem occurs at home that you being away for half an hour or even an hour can't be attended to in an hour's time. There's going to, like, we all go to the worst case scenario in our head. What happens if my child gets hit by a car and they're rushed off to the hospital? I'm not there to help with that. How many people do you know in your life that that has happened to? Like, it doesn't happen all that often. Sure.
Also, they're in the hospital. They're in doctor's hands. What more can
but
you
I
do?
But I can also, yes, but I can understand that if your child, like, if I knew right now that Amelia had fallen off and busted her arm and we're not, like, of course you feel guilty that, like, I wasn't. I understand that feeling, but that happening is so low percentage remote. That usually it's probably going to be your child had a fight with the other one and the other partner, you know, your husband or your wife's at home going crazy, like, God, and they're going to text you and it's like, they're having a meltdown, like, those kind of things. Let them figure it out. You'll be there in half an hour, at an hour's time, and you'll be in a much better headspace as well to be able to actually be able to help them out. And so just make sure that you're uncontactable. And you said before, maybe it's just sit on an iPad or something like that. I'd highly not recommend that, because you're going to be in the house and what, you're going to shut the door and kids are going to be banging on it. Like, we all know that you don't get alone time inside the house when there's kids, because they're always kind of trying to get your attention kind of thing. And so get out of the house. And that might be go and sit in a coffee shop with your iPad and just sit there and scroll or watch a movie or have a coffee or whatever it might be, or go for that walk, whatever you were saying like that. But make yourself uncontactable is the number the thing I'd add on to that.
And I think that's one of the huge benefits of that FIFO life is I know every time I come home, there's that period where the kids are at school. So I have that reliably every week to come back to. And I really hold on to that sometimes because, sometimes the kids are just on top of me as soon as I get home. And I'm like, I just have to, you know, max out my energy and just give them my all for that period of time, because I know that that rest and relief is coming.
And that's why I battle, and I guess this isn't something I really have communicated with you, and maybe I should have done it. I battle with the fact of not calling you while you're on site, because the girls want to call you every night. And if it was up to them, you'd get a phone call every single night. But I try and keep their minds occupied so they're not thinking about calling you, because I want to give you that alone time. But then also a flip side of that is, like, I want them to see you at work and not go a complete week without talking to you. And so I say all of that is to, am I doing that at a good level?
I think we've got normally a good balance.
I call you once or twice a week while you're on site. Is that fine? Should I be calling you more? Should I be calling you less? Like,
I could handle the call every night if it's a 10-minute call.
It's never going to be with the girls.
Just, yeah, because I have such a short window of time after work and before I need to get fed and then go to bed. If I was getting called every night, I wouldn't have any gym time whatsoever. So, yeah, I do appreciate the level of aloneness.
And I know that from you, because you've shared that. So, one last one, which actually kind of comes back to the kind of health space. So I'll answer this really quickly. It's kind of just alluding to the fact of Peter Attia. I've been talking about him quite a bit. He just released a book called Outlive, I think it is. He's a phenomenal source of information with regards to increasing your lifespan and how to live a healthy and long life, because I think far too often these days we're living longer, but we're not living healthier longer. We've just got drugs and surgeries and things that we can have to kind of keep us alive for longer. It doesn't mean we're actually living well long, but he's talking about living well and living long. And the person's just saying, you know, what do you think of this guy? And I think he's an incredible source of information. In fact, all of his talk on zone 2 training is actually what steered me in that direction of zone 2 training. I have a family history that every single male in my entire lifeline, excluding my father because he's still here, but every male before that has died of a heart attack. Every single one of them. And my father, and I'm pretty sure it's her, he's going into surgery to have a bypass surgery in about 2 months' time. It would have already happened if for not he got bumped, because he's not as important on the list at the moment, but he's lived an incredibly healthy life. He was an Ironman athlete. I saw him exercise almost every day of my life. It's why I'm in the fitness industry myself, because I love fitness. I've always been around fitness. I've been in a healthy family, and he's still having bypass surgery. So Peter Attia talks about the benefits of heart health via zone 2 training. And I don't want to die of a heart attack and be leaving my lovely wife, but also my girls, without a father for any longer than they need to be without a father in their life. And so I should probably be taking better care of my food intake and things like that.
And maybe go get a blood test.
I should be getting a blood panel, but I'm started up this zone 2 training purely because Peter Attia just talks endlessly about how beneficial it is for your heart health. And so I want to have a healthy heart so I can be around for a very long time and annoy my girls until the day that I drop dead. So I find incredible joy in annoying my girls and embarrassing them. And I see the eye rolls already beginning with my eldest daughter, and I can't wait until she's a 17-year-old still rolling her eyes at me, and I will find joy in that embarrassment. But yeah, so to Peter Attia, anyone listening to this, go and Google him. If you want his book, it's a massive encyclopedia on health and well-being. It might be a bit hard for people to consume because it is so big, but I don't think there's anything out there that's better at the moment with regards to finding out ways to live longer and live healthier. So yeah, but I guess that is the very final podcast, and I appreciate we haven't been kicked out. We've gone 30 minutes over time.
Jeez.
So for you guys, you know, the final podcast is an hour and a half. And, you know, this always started as let's talk fast. And my idea was always going to be I'll do these short little 15, 20-minute podcasts. And for you guys who are 244 episodes deep, you'll know that even from the very first podcast, that didn't happen. And it's still not a let's talk fast podcast. But
he likes talking too much.
I do. And again, I don't know. I don't know what will happen. I don't know how it will kind of evolve. And I really enjoy these conversations with you, Amy. And again, I know you know, you don't particularly enjoy the podcast sense. You and I like talking, but coming to a studio and doing this. But I don't know. I think there's something to the idea of my wife and the FIFO life. I reckon that could be a cool, fun podcast to do where we just sit down and talk for, whether it goes for 20 minutes or it goes for 90 minutes. But
maybe in a non-studio environment.
Maybe I set up the spare bedroom as a podcast studio, but either or. I appreciate you guys being around for 5 years. I appreciate for whether you've listened to one episode or you've listened to all 244. I don't know what else to kind of round that out. But, yeah, a massive thank you for everything that it's helped me to provide in my life, and I hope that anything I've said or done over that time has brought value to your life. And I hope you've enjoyed the very final one, and I have to say thank you to Amy for coming in and helping with that.
My pleasure.
All right, guys, for the last time, I love you lots. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.